We're up to Perek Pehe, 85. Lamnatzeach v'nei Korach Mizmor. This is a very interesting Perek, and I think it talks to us in our world situation that we find ourselves today. And allow me to explain. We're definitely in some type of a crisis in the world. Politics, the squad in Washington, what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, the threats that we have from Iran and others for that matter. China is like, who knows what's going to happen there. When you think about it, you know, the world's not in such a good situation. And Klal Yisrael, there seems to be a resurgence, whether it's talk, whether it's translated or translating into reality, but anti-Semitism is definitely the concept, the word, the thought, the rhetoric, the chatter is certainly on the rise. And all of this poses a rude awakening and saying, hey, we're still in Golus. And we thought we were very successful in this Golus. We had a lot of influence in this Golus. Well, our influence seems to be waning. And then Bechlal, history tells us that every time we reach the pinnacle of influence in Golus, it doesn't last for that long. Today, Eretz Yisrael, at one time, one might have thought that this is the beginning. The Geula is on the way. Today, what's going on? I don't know. But religiously, there seems to be certainly a serious reversal. Kashrus has already been significantly undermined, and the next objects, of course, are Shabbos and Giur, you know, conversion. It's a serious situation. And we really want to end the Golus. You know, and that which we always pray that Mashiach should come and Shiyabone Beis HaMikdosh B'mehera B'yomeinu becomes more acute of a reality when we realize how the situation is not as pleasant and as rosy and as comfortable as maybe for a while we thought it was. And this kapitel really deals with a very strong request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he brings the end to this Golus. But it starts in a very interesting way. Lamnaseach v'nei Korach Mizmor. This was composed, this Mizmor from b'nei Korach. Rotziso Hashem Artzecho. Shavto Shvus Yaakov. You desired your land, you returned the returnees of Yaakov. That means you brought us back, and the Sipurno, the Meforshim explained, after the first Golus from Bovel, we returned to Eretz Yisroel. Nososa avoinamecho, kisiso kol chatosom selo. You carried the sins of your people. You forgave us, and you covered the sins. And osafto kol evrosecho, you, I guess, gathered in or held back your anger, hashivoisa mecharonapecho, and returned from the anger that you had against Klal Yisrael. And the Sipurno actually points out that there are references to various stages of the Golus Bovel and the return to Eretz Yisroel. He says, Nososa avoinamecho. Let's start from the beginning. Nososa avoinamecho v'dvar homon. Afo pishish tachavu letzelem shel Nebuchadnezzar. They bow down to the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Yet bimei homon we had a Yeshua. Kisiso kol chatosom shenenu misudoso shel Achashverosh b'shushan. They enjoyed, they partook in the suit of Achashverosh. You forgave us for that too. Osafta kolev rosecho bimei Yevonim. Coming Hanukkah. In the times of the Yevonim, there was a tremendous assimilation to the Misyavnim that took place at the time of the Greek occupation of Eretz Yisrael. And again, you calmed, you gathered in your anger on that. Hashivos v'chor napecho bimei Achashmonoim. And in the days of the Chashmonoim, you actually culminated that that return from your anger, because you allowed this small group of chashmonoim, just kimat, really just a family of tzaddikim, to overpower this great superpower and chase them out of Eretz Yisrael. So we turn to Hashem and then we say to Him, Shuveinu elikei yishenu v'hofer kascho imonu. Return, return, shuveinu. Shuva tova hashiva, Rashi says v'hashiveinu. Return to us and bring us back. And destroy the anger that you have with us. Halo oilom tenaf bonu, timshoch apcho l'dor v'dor. Are you going to be angry with us forever? Is this golus going to go on forever and ever? It's close to 2,000 years already. Is it going to continue forever? Timshoch, to draw out and to continue and continue your anger from one generation to the next, l'dor v'dor. Halo atosh toshuv tishchayenu. Please return us, give us life. Be mechaya us again. V'amcho yisme'u boch, and your people will rejoice in you. We await that time when the Mashiach will come, when we'll be returned to Eretz Yisrael, when there'll be the ingathering of the exiles. V'amcho yisme'u boch, and we will rejoice in that intimate and ongoing, a permanent connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hareinu Hashem chastecho v'yeshacho titen lonu. Show us your chesed Hashem and your Yeshua. Please give us the Yeshua and bring about the end to the golus. What I think over here is very interesting is why the detailed historical reference to all the times that Hashem overpowered His anger. He brought us back from Bovel and to the times the tkufa of Homon, the eating from the Sulas HaChashverosh, the bowing to the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar, and then the influence that the Yevonim had upon us and the assimilation that took place at the time, and finally another victory. It sounds like that we need to look at the positive aspects of our history in order to be mechazik our confidence that Hashem will in fact end this golus, and to be able to turn to Hashem with a strength of tefillah, with a confidence in our tefillah, and say, Rabbeinu Shalom, look what you did. You forsook your anger, you gave up on your anger, you overpowered your anger on so many tkufas in our history, and we ask you now to do it one more time to bring about the Geula Shleima. And I think this is an interesting perspective, because most people tend to think, when they think about the end of the Golos, they say, Shein Hazeh Lang, it's close to 2,000 years. No, it has to end soon. It can't go on like this forever. And we try to, from the negative, try to find a core, a grain of optimism to the future. But it seems here from the Psukim that the way to do that is not from the negative, is from the positive. That despite the fact that we've spent so much time in Golus, actually from the Golus Bovel, it's way more than 2,000 years, but that each time that you had justification to be angry at us, you managed to overpower that anger, bring us back to Eretz Yisrael from Bovel, forgive us for what happened with Homon, with Achashverosh, forgive us what happened with the Yevonim and the Mei Chanukah. And the Mela, we ask you, we're optimistic. We see the pattern. There has been a pattern of forgiveness. Rabbeinu Shalom, please, let that happen now as well. Please, end this golus, end your anger. Yes, there's what to be angry at, and there has been throughout our history, but we beg of you, please end it now. You've done it so many times. You've been mevater. You've overlooked so many times all of our shortcomings. We ask you to do it one more time to bring about the Geula Shleima. If you look then at Posuk Tes, and then it goes on, Eshmo Mayedabro Hakel Hashem, Ki Yedaber Sholom El Amoy Vel Chasidov Val Yoshuva Lekislo. Let's hear, let's listen what Hashem will speak to His people, and He'll speak Sholom, and to His Chassid, He will return us, and we will not return to this folly, to this foolishness again. And then He goes on, Ach Korav the Rei of Yisho, Lishkin Kvod Barzenu, to those who are Yirei Hashem, then the Yeshua, the salvation is closer, because they're God-fearing people, Hashem wants to help them more, and eventually Lishkon Kovod Be'artzeinu, to bring us back, and the glory of Eretz Yisrael, the glory of the Beis HaMikdosh will be restored. But this pasuk of Eshmo Mayedaber Hokel is very interesting. The Sipurnu says over here, Eshmo Ovin. Ashmo, it means really understanding. I'll understand. Mayedaber, what Hashem will speak, B'toirosoi. What He will speak in His Torah. What does that mean? If you want to say what He will speak, if He's revealing Himself through a Novi, that I understand, that's future tense. What is the Novi? What is Hashem going to tell us through the Novi? But what is He going to speak in His Torah? He spoke in His Torah 3,300, well, then it wasn't 3,300. Today it's 3,334 years ago. And what is it? He will speak in His Torah. What's going on? And then it goes on to different psukim and different messages, which we'll talk about hopefully in a moment. But I'd like to stop on this, He will speak. I'd like to share with you a thought, an original thought. I say original because I've never really heard it any place, but I'd like to share it with you. I want to ask you a question. Our Torah, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebaal Peh, Talmud and Midrashim and whatever Chazal have written and passed on to us, has many, many directives. How to lead life, advice, that's Ein Sofik Moitzi Midei Vaday. That's a directive from Chazal. If you have a Sofik and a Vaday, you don't leave the Vaday because, well, maybe there's a possibility of something else. This is for sure. You go with this and you don't worry about it. And many such things, Dayal Tzora B'Shaita, for example. It's enough to worry about the Tzora when it happens. Right now you could do something good. You don't have to worry that, well, maybe if I do this good, something else is going to come out of it, which is not good. Dayal Tzora B'Shaita, Hashem will take care of us. And many, many such things. I want to ask you a question. If I, or you or any one of us, take advantage of this concept, we use it in our daily life. Did Hashem, when He taught it to Moshe Rabbeinu 3,334 years ago, did He have me in mind? Did He have you in mind? Was He thinking, yes, you, at this day, at this juncture, Parshas Vayishlach, Moitzoi Shabbos, v'chulei, are going to take advantage of this directive? I think it goes without saying that He did. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not limited by time or space or anything. He knows the future. The future is clear to Him with each individual person. How could it be? The only marshal I ever had is the stockbrokers that watch 100 monitors at one time. So He's watching billions at one time, But so you have to say that. To say otherwise is mamish. It's clear. It's not true. Hashem is aware of everything, knows everything. And when He taught these principles to Moshe Rabbeinu, He had each and every person, He knew each and every person who's going to take advantage of these principles, He had them in mind. If that's the case, then you know that He talks to me. I recently entitled a talk, God Speaks to Me, or something like that. And to you too. He talks to me directly. These ma'amorim that He's giving, when I take advantage of them, they're messages from the Creator to me. Not the type that you would think you have to put me in a psychiatric ward. I'm not hearing voices. But the wisdom that we find in Torah, in Chazal, was directly understood and known to the Bnei Olam when He gave it over. Each and every one of us is going to take advantage. So I want to share with you just a couple of personal experiences in light of this Eshmo Ma Yedaber Hokel. Let us understand what Hashem will tell us in His Torah. His Torah that He gave then is talking to us now. I don't know where to even begin. I mentioned this Dayal Tzor B'Shaito. Let's start over there. Well, many years ago, I moved to the San Fernando Valley. And it was a place where Yiddishkeit had not yet arrived, to say the least. And there was a day school there, and we started a high school. We took over the 9th grade, and we started the 10th grade, and that became the 10th grade, and 9th and 10th grade. And we had girls and boys. And our philosophy of education was not that they should be in the same school, but they were in the same building the first year. They were separate comings and goings and class changing times and lunches, but mice in the same building. It wasn't a very good thing. The second year, we had a possibility that we could take a building across the park. We were renting from a temple, so this building was here. We had another building across the parking lot. We were able to take that. But we had a problem. That would be for the boys. This would be for the girls. Be a big accomplishment, although not the ultimate goal would be to have separate campuses. But, you know, enough. Something, an improvement. The problem was that with the lay leadership that we had at the time, once we move the boys to that building, they will never understand that now we have to move to another campus. You got two separate schools, you got two separate buildings. So what if they're on the same campus, they're 200, 300, I don't know what it was, feet apart. Like, so what do we do? So I remember I asked my Rebbe, the Rosh Yeshiva, the Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, Zechrono Livracha, and he quoted the Gemara on Daf Tes in Brochis, Dayo Litzoro Bishaito. You worry about a tzoro when it comes. Right now, this is a tikkun. This is a major accomplishment, two separate buildings. What's going to happen later? There's a God in the world. He takes care. And he's the one who told me, that's the way I feel, Dayo Litzoro Bishaito. Anyway, we did it. The middle of the next year, the temple was offered $50,000 for that building that we were using for the boys for a program for blind people. And of course, we were paying $12,000 for both for per year. So, of course, the temple evicted us. We had to move away. And since that point, this is 40-some years ago, we're completely separate. But the point was that that program disappeared after a year. I look at it that it came as a gift min hashamayim just to help us because we followed the directive that said, Dayo Litzoro Bishaito. Let me give you another example. We had already built the yeshiva there for a few years, and we had a high school with a small base medrash, and there were a number of graduates who had gone off to yeshivas, and they came back for the summer, and they were talking about five or six of them, very wonderful boys. They would stay for the year, be a tremendous asset to the base medrash, to the high school, to the community, but one condition, and I have to not only give a shir every day, which I did, but I have to spend the whole morning seder, that's 4 hours in the morning, in the Beis Medrash, so they could talk and learning, what have you. I told them I'm afraid to make such a commitment. I owe, who knows, a few $100,000 from previous years. I have to raise another few $100,000. And I have to teach in the high school, so I have to, how can I, 4 hours a day? I said, give me 24 hours, I don't like to make a rash commitment, a rash decision. I go home, I ask my wife. She says, it's a Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the third parak. Omer Reb Nechunya ben Hakono. HaMekabel Olav Oil Toiro, Ma'avir Mimenu Oil Malchus V'Oil Derech Eretz. If you accept the burden of Torah, which to us meant I'll sit in the Beis Medrash for 4 hours a day, then the burden of Malchus, which to me was the payroll taxes, government, and Derech Eretz are making money, making a living, that'll be removed miraculously. I'm Makabel. The next morning, I tell the Chevra, Rosh Chodesh Elul, I'm at the Beis Medrash. That night, I meet a young man who says, my father wants to talk to you. He has something in mind. I call his father. He has somebody in one of my buildings. He's very sick, and he has no family. He's all alone, and he's living in a terrible matzav. And maybe the yeshiva guys could go in and clean up his apartment and help him out and get him some food. He's very sick. He can't take care of himself. Okay, fine, no problem. And at the end, he just throws in. Maybe he has a couple of bucks he could donate to the yeshiva. Okay, whatever. Didn't sound like a big donor for the future. Anyway, so good. So I met him, and then I sent in the yeshiva guys, everything very nice. Actually, in a couple of weeks, he was very enamored with the boys, and he wrote a will. He left the yeshiva beneficiary, but he had no idea what kind of money he left. From the way he lived, the poverty that it looked like, it didn't look like there was anything there. Passed away Yud Zayin Elul, which was barely 3-4 weeks after we met him, left the yeshiva $1 million. He didn't know what he had. It was in 36 banks. It took us a while to find it all, but it was there. The day that I was mekabel the oil Torah, as per Reb Nechunya ben Hakona, as per my wife's advice, right? I look at that the Bri Olam, when he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and he told him this memra of mekabel olav oil Torah, ma'avir mimenu ol malchus derecheretz, addressed it, Shaya Cohen, with love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a personal a personal communication, because he was obviously aware that I'm going to exist. He was obviously aware that we're going to be in the San Fernando Valley. He was obviously aware that we're going to have this situation. And that message that he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu was a direct message to me as well. Let me go on and tell you something a little bit closer to home. Okay? In February, I still remember, 1995, we have a building here, the next block in Cedarhurst on Columbia, 26 Columbia. And in those days in the attic, Rabbi David Schenker of Jep, Long Island, had an office. One day he comes down into my office and he says to me, I need your help. He says, we're trying to get some Yerusha from a relative of his father's. The lady had left the money to her six cats. C-A-T-S. You know, that was enough for the judge to know that she wasn't all there, you know. But anyway, so, and he's the next of kin, and he was trying to get the money for Jep. So I said, he says, and the lawyer's not behaving himself. He's trying to make trouble. Maybe you can come with us and talk to the lawyer. Maybe you could tell him we're good guys and, you know, he should try to be sympathetic. Fine. My pleasure. And as a good Jewish person, I asked, how much? I mean, not how much for me, but how much money you're going to get? He says, we're trying to get $100,000. I said, oh, very nice. I'll be very happy. And we made up a couple of days from now. We're going. In 2 hours, it was about 2 hours later, I get a call from a friend of mine in Los Angeles, a major donor who donated every month quite a few thousand dollars. He says, you know, I just did a big deal in business. I'm sending the yeshiva $100,000. Next day, I got a check, $100,000. Fine. We're on the way to Manhattan to the lawyer, and it hits me. I said, you know, Chazal say, HaMespal Ba'ad Chaveroi, if you pray for your friend, or in my opinion, you just go to try to help him, whatever it is. And you need the same thing that you're trying to help him get. You're going to be answered first. I said, look at that. I agreed to help him get $100,000 and I was answered. I got the $100,000 before he did. The problem was 3 years went by and he never got his $100,000. And I kept telling him, you're going to get it. You're going to get it. You're going to get it. You know why? Because the message that Hashem sent me at Har Sinai 3,334 years ago said, Hu nene tchila. First means there has to be a second. If there's no second, I'm not first, I'm only. So I knew tchila has to be. Because they thought I was a little bit, him and his lawyer and his father, the author was Abisal Meshuggah, but maybe it gets worse. Anyway, so 3 years later, in February 98, he comes down and he tells me, he says, the judge signed off and they're getting the Yerusha. I say, how much? He said, we're getting $250,000. So I said, Im Kane, before you get that check, I have to get another $150,000. And it zicha ungekukt azevi chot giving out meshugana in ganzen, you know. But he didn't say anything, just looked at me like this. Okay, fine. Couple days later, I get a call from, before he got his check, it takes a while from the time they decide until they come up with the money, whatever. I get a call from the same friend of mine who was donating every month his, I think at the time it was like $8,500 a month, whatever. And he says, I decided the yeshiva owes me $155,000. We had borrowed money. He says, I want to be moichalit. I'm forgiving the loan. So immediately I made a cheshbon using my fingers and my toes. 100 and 155 is 255. Schenker, there's another $5,000 out there. Because I have to get tchila. I have already, because they were moichel, 255. And he looked me straight in the eye, and don't hold it against him, he's a wonderful man, Rabbi David Schenker. He said, you're crazy, just like that. And I'm a little bit older than he is too. You're crazy. Okay, next day he comes running down to the crazy man, and he says, you know what happened? He says, when the judge signed off for the 250 for them, he signed off for some other Kira something, I think it was on the North Shore, some Kira project from this Yerusha that we tried to get for another $5,000, another donation. So it was actually $255 that came from this, which I got first. I said, let me see the check, because I was hoping I lost it over the years, but I would take a big copy of the check, bring it out now like this, you know, and show you. His check said $252,600. I says, what's this 2,600 there? The numbers are not perfect. Something's wrong. So he says, well, they were the judge was upset. They took their time. They fooled around. So he gave some kind of a knas or an interest or some. The numbers. I didn't like the numbers. Bekitzer, next week, I get a printout from my friend's controller who was moichel the money. It seems we made a mistake. We didn't owe him 155. We owed him 157.5. We're off by $100. I was meichel immediately $100 in my back pay. So there's haste. We got the money before he did. I consider that a direct message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he told it to Moshe Rabbeinu, he was certainly aware that I'm going to be taking him. I wasn't aware. I wasn't even around. But he was aware that someday we're going to be taking advantage right here in this community, right across the street, next block. Take advantage of this Hamispal Bat Chaveroi, Futsorach Loisadover, Hunan Etchila, and we're going to learn Pshat that Mispal is Lavdafka, as long as you're trying to help someone to get it, and Vikachave. I could go on and on, but maybe I'll just conclude with one more example, and then I want to go on and finish the Perek. This is a story that took place, and they had a sequel, and let me just share it with you. This was the day after Thanksgiving, like next Friday, in the mid-80s, the early 80s. My wife calls me up Friday morning, 9 o'clock. She has no fish for Shabbos. So I gave her a good eitzah. I said, why don't you buy some? She gave me a good answer. She didn't have any money. And I said, I don't have any money either. What should I do? Well, Habitech b'Hashem chesed yisei v'venu. If you have trust in Hashem, chesed will surround you. You don't have to worry about anything. The Meiri's lotion is Habitech b'Hashem ein toicheles shaloi nichsevo. One who puts his trust in Hashem, that hope, will never be disappointed. If you really put your trust in Hashem. Fine. 5 minutes later, a fellow who now lives here in Far Rockaway, Saul Kessler, he was learning then in the Beis Medrash, lives on Oak. If you want, you could talk to him, check it out with him. And he comes in, and I say, Saul, where were you yesterday? Thanksgiving, you take off from the yeshiva. Like, it's not a holiday for us. He says, well, my father was off, and he wanted to take out the boat, and he was all alone, so I decided to go with him. But look what we brought you. A plastic bag like this, full of fish. Yeah? 5 minutes later. Okay, fine. So I told this story recently to a group of Kollel Yungalait that I was giving a session for. And they were talking about Hashgacha Pratis and this. And some wise guy in the back says to me, but there was no gefilte fish. Groysa Chochem, I don't know what he meant. He was looking for trouble, I think. I said, oh, you want gefilte fish? So let me tell you. Years later, walking down Central Avenue, right here, the next block over there, down a little bit further. Where are we? Down there further. It was a 2 o'clock Friday afternoon. My wife calls me, and guess what? No fish for Shabbos. And of course, I gave the same advice, which didn't work because she didn't have any money. And neither did I. Well, what should I do? B'teach b'Hashem, chesed yisoy b'venu. 2 minutes later, maybe five, but not more, Mrs. Ross, remember Mrs. Ross from King David? She opens the door. It was already closing time. She says, Rabbi, go, come here. I said, what's up? She says, we just started takeout this week. And I have two big loaves of gefilte fish that I want you to take home to your wife to see how she likes it. She did not hear my phone call. She did not know anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Har Sinai, 3,334 years ago, who sent me the message today, he had it in mind, and he took care of it. And we could go on and on and on, but I think the point is very well taken. The next time somebody complains that they talk to Hashem, and they ask Hashem, and he doesn't speak to them, tell him to talk to me. But you don't have to do that. You could spare me and them. But just tell him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai gave us life directives. And he says, follow my directives. They are personally addressed to each and every one of you in every single generation, in every single situation that will arise. And they are my answer to your tefillos. And sometimes, even though the answer doesn't happen immediately, I happen to have the good fortune I had in these particular stories. Well, it wasn't immediately. The Jep thing took three full years. The gefilte fish came very quickly. Okay, Baruch Hashem, gefilte fish. The other thing was also very quick. One thing played out over another 2 years. It's not so posh. You have to be patient. You have to believe. If you know that if Hashem gave us a directive that that's what we're supposed to do, then you know He's going to take care of it. Fine. Okay, let me just continue. We'll finish up the perek. Then it goes on, a very strange posuk, and it's really something that I think needs a moment of analysis. According to the Yavir, you shall find, Chesed ve'emes nifgoshu, tzedek v'sholom noshoku. Very strange. Chesed, kindness, and emes, truth, met each other. They came together. They had a meeting. They encountered each other. Tzedek v'sholem. Tzedek means righteousness, going the righteous path, doing what's always right. V'sholem and peace. Noshoku, they kissed each other. What's going on over here? Chesed emes, they had a meeting. It's like, here they had a date. Had tzedek v'sholem, they kissed each other. V'ostutzach, what are we talking about over here? So, Sapunu explains. Chesed emes nifgoshu, posuk yud aleph. Forever, for all times, in a place where we find truth of Torah, Torah that's being studied and analyzed and understood in its truth, not just with stories that we make up, maybe not just with interpretations that we take our own ideas and we put them in, but with rather explanation where we draw from the text the truth of what the text means to tell us. When you have emes shel Torah, nimtza bo chesed elyon, you find together, with it comes all of Hashem's chesed. V'chein tzedek v'sholom noshoku, noshku ze, they kissed each other, bo'ifen shekasha yia ha-tzedek, yia ha-sholom mikol ra. He says, in such a way, when there is tzedek, when there is righteousness, when there is integrity, then there is sholom. They kiss each other means they're there. What this means, I think, is something very interesting. We always thought chesed, sholom, these are all gifts from Hashem. A gift from Hashem, you either have to earn because you have the merit for it, or sometimes there's mida keneged mida, I didn't really earn it, but because I act in a certain way, that's like an entitlement that Hashem will act with me. The way that you act, that's the way Hashem acts with you. Here it seems something else. There's a metzius. There's a reality. When the truth of Torah is upheld, chesed is right in the environment. It's there automatically. It's not because of mida keneged mida. It's not because we earned it. Because if you earn it, you have to measure other things. Maybe I have the schus of Torah, but maybe I don't have chesed. Maybe I don't have other schusim. No, it's a metzius. When Hashem sees when there's truth, and the truth, the ultimate truth, is only the truth of Torah. That's the ultimate truth. That's the only truth in the world. When the truth of Torah is understood, is practiced, is studied, is learned, is taught, then chesed ve'emes nifgoshu, then chesed surrounds it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides chesed, supplies chesed, bequeaths chesed, blesses us with chesed, wherever there's truth of Torah. They come together. They're nifgoshu. It isn't because I earned it or deserved it or mida keneged mida. It's because they both exist. So the truth is such a, it's the essence, it's the foundation of our existence. And when the truth of Torah is prevalent, then Hashem's chesed just showers. He showers His chesed upon us. It exists memela. It's not through the system of earning or deserving. It's like a metzius. And the same thing with tzedek. When there's yosher and tzedek, a person goes in the righteous path, doing what's right, what's honest, what's yosher, then sholem, that brings sholem. Sholem comes with that. It's like a law of nature, so to speak. Chesed, a tzedek v'sholem, noshoku. They kiss each other. They're here. They're together. Chesed ve'emes nifgoshu, tzedek v'sholem noshoku. Now, the next pasuk goes on and says, emes me'eretz titzmach. So the Sapunu says that this is a tefillah. It should grow from the earth. Emes. What does it mean? Yehi rotzoin she'oisa amito shel Torah she'eitz ha'kedoshim asher ba'oretz titzmach. It says we pray to Hashem that the truth of Torah, which exists by those holy ones, those people, the asher ba'oretz in Eretz Yisrael, where they're studying Torah, where they're living the truth of Torah, titzmach should blossom. Bahamidom talmidim harbei. We ask, how is this emes going to continue? How is it going to flourish? By teaching and establishing and setting up on their own feet many Talmidim. So the truth of Torah brings chesed perforce, but we worry that it should continue. And the only way to make it continue is to have Talmidim, is that these people who have and study and understand and know the truth of Torah should establish themselves and have many Talmidim so that they could be teaching this Torah to the next generation. And what this, and the same thing he says, except it seems that the same tefillah goes, Chen Yitzmach Tzedek Asher Yotzu B'Tzadikim, how that through that which they have inside, B'Koyach, should come to fruition through the outside. And we ask Hashem to help to make this happen. And then, of course, eventually the Geula should come and Tzedek Lefon of Yahalech, V'yosem Derech Po'omov, and then we should finally have the ultimate Geula in Eretz Yisrael and so forth. But just one thing, I think it's very important to encourage Talmidim. Like sometimes, you know, we don't think about the next generation. We think, oh, we have scholars, we have great people, we have Torah, we have the truth of Torah. But we must worry that it's provided to the next generation. Rashi brings at the end of Parshas Kisovui that it says, "Hayom azeni esolom l'Hashem elokecho," and so Rashi says that he heard that the day, this special day that Moshe Rabbeinu said that I know that that you're close and clinging, connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What happened that day? That was the day that Moshe Rabbeinu gave his personal Sefer Torah to Shevet Levi. He had a Sefer Torah that he wrote. He wrote all the Sefer Torah. Each Shevet had one that he wrote, but he had his personal one was given to Shevet Levi that was held in the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, and so forth. So the other Shvatim said, Moshe, he says, today you give your Shevet, you give them the Torah. He says, the day will come when they'll say that we didn't stand by our Sinai. And only they got the Torah and we have no chelik in the Torah. So Moshe says, now I know that you're dveikim ushleimim, dveikim b'Hashem. Now I understand the level of closeness and dveikus that you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the question is, what happened over there? Because what kind of question is that? Each Shevet had a Sefer Torah. The Torah itself says that they all stood at Har Sinai and received the Torah. So what are they worried about? It seems it was an exaggerated fear. They were so worried that the Torah should be perpetuated to the next generation in their Shvatim that they became almost irrational and said, Moshe, what's going to be? If you gave your Sefer Torah to your Shevet, tomorrow they're going to say we have no Chelek. There was no rational basis, but there was worry. That's the attitude that we have to have for future generations. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that and says, now I know that your relationship with Hashem is real. If we have a real relationship with Hashem, we want to make sure that it passes on to future generations. And if we don't have that worry and concern for passing it on to future generations, then it's not a true relationship with Hashem. Because if we're truly chfeitzim udveikim b'mokim, we're desirous and clinging and close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we want nothing more. We want to assure that relationship continues on for future generations. And that's something I think that as we think about the Golus, as we hope for the end of the Golus, as we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, die, enough, we've had enough of this, and it just seems to be getting worse every day, and we ask you to bring about Uvol Tzion Goel, we should also keep in mind that we, if we're truly concerned about our relationship with Hashem, we must at the same time be concerned about the future generations, and passing on to them everything that they need to be able to be committed and to be close to Hashem and to live the life that we so much want for ourselves and for them and for all of Klal Yisrael.